I have tried from a philosophical perspective to have and track for three kinds of sessions. One kind relates to hard cases or nuances of counseling. So you heard, for example, a discussion on personality. I mean, when's the last time you had personality conversation at a biblical counseling conference? Right? And so those are nuances, right? And we're not always sure exactly how we're going to work all those things out, but we need to think about some of that stuff. And this is the group that's doing the thinking about that stuff. And what we're doing right now, laying the groundwork, might serve as more future sessions in the future to help us really solve some problems that are still out there that need some additional time and thought. A second type of question or case that I like to work on is, how can we help you deal with the individual or one-off kind of ministry opportunities? So a couple years ago, we did a session on the conscience because so many people would come and they would bring a specific case scenario and they're like, hey, what should I do about this? And many times the answer to that was found rooted somewhere in Romans 14. And then the third type of session relates to training others. So we're trying to bring these kinds of sessions into the mix, and I want you to know that I listen very carefully to what somebody from Track 4 says in terms of a future session. So if you send me a note, you put on the evaluation, hey, I would like to see a session on X or Y, then I take that very seriously about, all right, who could bring a session on X or Y? I've had lots of people asking about policies and procedures. And there's nobody out there that I know who does more from the issue of policy than Brad and their church. And Brad will tell you that he has the gift of policy writing. All right, well, I don't know. I'm glad he does, because I'm like allergic to that. There's nothing I enjoy about those kinds of things. And so I wanted him to talk about that, because I know they've worked really hard to develop very thoughtful policies about how their church is going to function in certain ways. So that came from one of you. The session that Lori Walters and Adam Murphy did regarding the care for the poor and how do you provide a care team that can really bring all the wraparound services together and how do you help so that you don't hurt. That came from a pastor who was saying, you know, Rob, I know you guys do more of this than most other churches are doing this, and so could you have a session dedicated to that? Because I'm running into that, and I just want to know how to do it better. So there was a session dedicated to that. Not to say that it's perfect, but here are some ideas to think about. So I want you to know that I take your involvement and your questions and your issues seriously. And we try to keep a running list of Track 4 topics, if you will. What are we going to talk about this year? What are we going to talk about? Because we want this to be an ongoing training opportunity for all of you. Where you say, you know, I love coming here. I love getting the better food than everybody else gets. I love coming over here and meeting together in this room and just thinking about topics that, well, I just don't normally think about. And it's good for me to wrestle with some really hard cases because I've got the basics down. And now I just need to go back and really think through some other hard things. So as I was thinking about what I was going to do, my mind kept coming to this question about perception. And years ago, I had heard the phrase, perception determines reality. Have you ever heard that phrase? Man, the first time I heard that, I thought the person was insane. I mean, certifiable insane. Because I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm an engineering student, and every time my perception of how I did on my test was different than my professor's, who's won? I mean, I went to my professor several times during my university career, and I tried to argue for something better. Your perception is not correct. You gave me a C. I deserve an A+. And yet my transcript always said what the professor decided. So it didn't matter what my perception was. It mattered what the professor decided. That was reality. And then I would go to church, and my pastor would open up the word. And even though Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God, my pastor was saying, whether or not a person says that there is no God or not, there is. And he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And we would unpack Romans 15 or 1 Corinthians 15. He would highlight the issues in the text and say, whether somebody believes this is true or not, it is the truth. And so I'm sitting here thinking, well, perception determines my reality. That's just insane. And that's where I left it. I just left it there for years. Because my conclusion was simple. It doesn't determine your reality. And here's what has made me come back and say, well, okay, great, we're done. We got a whole hour off, right? Here's what's made me come back and rethink this just a little bit. And that is, let's read the Bible from the perspective of perception and see how perception influences the decisions that people make. And so I decided I'm going to go back and think about, why is it that my counselees see things differently than I see them? And if I see things differently than my counselees see them, then where is that coming from? And better yet, what can I do to help them in the midst of this? Because what I see and what they see are different, and so one of us or both of us are wrong. And we need to get on the right page. We got to get our perception to match reality. So how do we do that? And so I decided that, well, what I was going to do is try as hard as I could to think about the concept of perception in Scripture. So let's just think a little bit about the significance of perception in the Bible itself. So I looked up every passage that used the word perception. And every time it highlights, what does a person understand? What does a person understand? Sometimes it matched reality, where Jesus perceived in someone's heart something, and that, of course, was true. And other times it spoke about someone who perceived something about someone else which may or may not be true. And then I started thinking, well, just because the word perception isn't found, maybe there's some ideas behind perception that also can be clear in the Scriptures. And so I started walking through some stories in Scripture. Perception in the story of Abraham and Sarah. You remember the story. Abraham creates a plan to tell the foreign kings that Sarah is his sister, which is partially true. And Sarah's beauty is the reason for this deception. So let's just walk ourselves through the text. There was a famine in the land. Now Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe. And it came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me. But they will let you live." That's a rather pessimistic view of the situation, isn't it? "Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on your account." In other words, God has made some promises to me, and I'm pretty sure that he needs me to fulfill them. I'm not so sure he needs you. So if you could just like encourage me along this line so that it all goes well with me when I travel into Egypt, that would be great. It came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken in Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram well for her sake. He gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him